DW, the 77%.
The bad news is that everyone is a potential victim. But the good news is that everyone is a potential solution. Sensitize the masses to sanitize. Keep a social distance and quarantine.
We now know that older people are more likely to catch the coronavirus. But did you know that young people are also equally at risk?
My name is Simon Nasser. I'm 35 years old. It will be very difficult for me to tell exactly how I had it.
That is why this medical practitioner is asking young people to stay at home.
Young people should not fool themselves. This virus loves crowds. Anytime you interact with somebody, two or three people, if any one of them is carrying the infection, you can easily acquire it.
Young does not mean immune to the coronavirus. Yes, I'm talking to you, young people. This is the 77% show. This show is coming to you from my home in Accra, Ghana. Like other countries, Ghana also closed its borders. It is uncomfortable but necessary. You can also join this show from the comfort of your home by sending me your comments and feedback on our Facebook page, DW Africa. According to the World Health Organization, over 70,000 people have died from the coronavirus around the world. Many of them are older than 65. Here in Africa, more than 9,000 people have been infected so far.
My name is Simon Nasser. I'm 35 years old. It will be very difficult for me to tell exactly how I had it. I had a problem with my throat. I had a problem. I was coughing. And then I was having some diarrhea and then mild headaches and then some little bit difficulty when it comes to breathing. Initially, I was thinking like a typical African. The virus is meant for the whites and not for we Africans or the blacks. I equally said that this virus is for the aged and not for young guys. But my condition is something that is evident that the virus can affect young guys, you know.
That is Simon Nate, who lives in Ghana. Across the Atlantic, Yvonne Mugera, a Kenyan living in America, had her own experience with the coronavirus.
First time I realized I had it, it was when I lost my sense of smell and taste. So I couldn't smell anything, I couldn't taste anything. But when it was really vital for me is when I couldn't breathe at all. I'd moved from the chair to the bed, and it just in that process of movement, I completely ran out of breath and I could not breathe. So I was rushed to the emergency room and I was diagnosed with pneumonia. And while I was waiting for my results to come back, I got IVs. It was just an oxygen. It was just a really, really terrible experience. And finally, I was told that I was COVID-19 positive.
Yvonne Mugera has since recovered, but despite her warnings, she says there are still young people partying and acting as if the virus does not exist. And, you know, this is the sense I get here in Ghana. Most young people are not observing the precautionary measures. Here's a conversation I had with a couple of them. Today on the 77%, the debate is coming to you from Accra, Ghana. And I'm speaking to a couple of young people on what they know about the coronavirus and what they can do to stop the spread of this virus. I'm going to start with the lady on my left. I'm going to ask her to introduce herself.
My name is Christiana Solomon, a student of the Ghana Institute of Journalism.
And?
Sandra Jani, a gender advocate.
And the only gentleman in this debate besides myself on my right.
I'm Abdallah Mohammed, a news producer at Metro TV.
Let me focus on you two ladies. Do you get a sense that this disease is not for young people?
I think we all prone to getting the disease, whether you are young or old. So We wouldn't say the disease is for young people or for the elderly, but we are all prone of getting it.
So why then is it that, Sandra, you don't wear your nose mask?
Well, I don't really have any reason, but I just feel...
You feel, let me help you here, you feel like you'll recover if you contracted this disease?
Not really. I think that we don't really have an education about the use of this nose mask. It looks like people are really abusing it. Like, we need education.
Not to interrupt, but I've seen a lot of education in Ghana, globally, the World Health Organization, and what they have said about the nose mask and how it helps to stop the spread. Christina, you also do not wear your nose mask. And I have seen you open this door. You don't have a sanitizer. You haven't sanitized your hands. So why is it? Is it? I get a sense that this disease is far removed from you. Am I right to make this assumption?
Well, that's your assumption, but we recently heard, I recently heard that those that use nose masks are at risk of contracting the disease. So, for example, if you are not a health professional and then you go out to buy the nose masks, or maybe you have it and then you use it in the wrong way, the unprescribed way, you are prone to getting it. Because how you wear it, how you remove it, also makes you or gives you...
Yeah, so you're trying to say that it increases your risk of contracting
exactly.
the disease.
So, yeah.
So you would rather not wear it?
Well, I will.
Let me come back to you, Sandra. And sorry, I'm not picking on you, but I've just seen you touch your face. And the World Health Organization has said not to do this. Again, why?
Truthfully, it's very difficult. As human as we are, you can't just stay without touching. It's an involuntary thing that happens, so you can't just... It's difficult to follow that protocol. It's very difficult.
Abdullah, do you think that young people take this disease serious?
I think what we have seen over the past few months since the outbreak of this disease is that the aged are more prone to contracting the disease, and they are equally more prone to, you know, dying from the disease. So the young people have not really observed these, you know, social distancing and other protocols, because they feel that my immune system is strong enough, and my defense system or my immune system is strong enough to defend myself from contracting and dying from this disease. Because, you know, Ghana currently has a casualty rate of 5 people. People have died so far, and all these 5 people are people who are beyond the age of 15 years. So most of the young people who contracted the coronavirus have recovered.
Yeah.
Yes, quite a significant, you know, number of them have recovered. So I think the feeling generally is that, you know, younger people are not more prone to contracting or dying from the disease. But I think we need to collectively work in changing the narrative.
Now, while there is a lot of truth in what you have said, the World Health Organization has also said that even if you recover, there are some chances that the disease could leave young people with permanent lung damage. Christina, does this not concern you?
Well, it does, but as Abdullah rightly said, because we think our immune system is strong, is good to avoid such disease, we are not serious about the disease. But I think what the World Health Organization is saying is the right thing.
Now, how about also the risk of being carriers? So as young people with a pretty good immune system, we may not suffer the symptoms of the disease, but we could spread it to our older relations who are more susceptible and who could die. Do you consider this, Sandra?
Well...
Sorry, it's not a firing squad, but we have to ask the questions.
Well, maybe I'll jump to Sandra's
defense,
because I think we all have to do a self-introspection. We all have to rethink or relook at the repercussions or the implications of us not adhering strictly to the World Health Organization's, you know, protocols on social distancing and taking personal preventive measures to ensure that we protect ourselves. We all have to think about it. Personally, I'm someone who follows international media a lot, and looking at the pictures from a lot of these hospitals who have decided to grant the media access to their facilities is quite a serious problem. And I wish the Ghanaian authorities would also, you know, adopt this kind of measure, because I feel that once you bring the diseases onto the faces of people, let them have a look at what people are, you know, battling in the various hospitals, it would kind of also drum home the need for us to, you know, listen to what the authorities are saying as far as preventing ourselves from contracting these diseases as concerned.
That's a very valid point. Now, whilst we wrap up this conversation, what can young people do for especially the vulnerable in society so that they do not become victims of this disease?
So I think as young people, we need to follow the directives given by the World Health Organization on, you know, this disease.
For me, with the vulnerable, especially those on the streets in this crisis, I think governments must put in measures. I know they've already started, but there's more to be done, because if we still look at this KIA, they don't know what is personal hygiene. They don't practice it, this social distancing, use of hand sanitizers, washing your hands. They don't really know it. So I think more education must be done for them to understand and for them to know what this disease is about and its effects on them.
Thank you, Sandra, for that input. And a bit of context, KIA refers to headquarters here in Ghana. And to you, Abdallah, you work in the news business, and the numbers have shown that frontline, first-line responders, healthcare workers, journalists are at a higher risk of contracting the disease because they are not staying at home. Many of you are still working. What personal steps are you taking to ensure that you're not putting yourself and your family at risk?
Well, I think that unfortunately for some of us, we belong to a system which primarily makes it difficult for us to work from home. In the advanced world, you know, you can conveniently work from home.
Are you saying it's impossible to work from home?
It's impossible to work from home by the nature of our job here in Ghana. You know, the journalism job in Ghana requires that you physically present yourself at the office and go on locations to file reports on happenings in town, not just related to COVID-19, but other issues, yeah, you know, pertaining to the socio-economic development of the country. So I feel that the nature of our job itself puts us on the front line. But we need to also take, you know, preventive measures, personal safety. You know, a friend of mine used to tell me that no story is worth your life.
Yes.
So in our bid to let Ghanaians know what's happening out there, we also need to make sure that our lives equally matter. So
what steps are you taking?
I have
to make sure that you're not risking the lives of your family.
So the first thing I do is that I make sure that I drive to work every day and drive back home. I make sure I carry my sanitizer. I make sure that, you know, I help in the overall agenda by government to amplify, you know, the need for us to make sure that we stay home.
Well, thank you so much for this insightful conversation. I have been speaking to three young people here in Accra, Ghana. Abdallah Mohammed is a news producer, and Sandra Jani is a gender advocate. Christina Solomon is a student who recently completed the Ghana Institute of Journalism. We have been talking about how young people can help to stop the spread of coronavirus. I was speaking to some young Ghanaians. For all those who still do not think that this is anything to worry about, Dr. Bertha Ayi says you need to rethink. The infectious disease specialist says young people should by all means avoid crowded areas.
In America yesterday, 1,000 cases of death were recorded. The day before, another 1,000 cases. And although this might be like, oh, it's just 1,000 people, what it means is that in almost every hospital, at any time, somebody is dying because in spite of all the resuscitative efforts, we cannot contain the infection. And Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, said we're having a tough time controlling this virus. So I think young people should not fool themselves. Besides, it has been clearly shown that this virus loves crowds. Anytime you interact with somebody, two or three people, if any one of them is carrying the infection and they are asymptomatic, you can easily acquire it. So I think it's extremely important that we keep this knowledge at the back of our minds.
For every disease, the stigma can prevent victims from openly admitting and getting help. Dr. Ayi has some advice on how this can be addressed.
You should have champions, COVID-19 champions. You should be open with information. You should be willing to share data. And if leadership gets it, like Iran, when the Minister of Health, the Deputy Minister, got ill, he went on Twitter himself in his sick bed, you know, with his sweating and not so good looking clothes. He just said, I'm positive. I'm taking care of myself. It immediately takes away the stigma. Well, if your leadership have it, then what's the big deal? You know, Boris Johnson tweeted, hey, I'm ill. I got the virus. It takes away the stigma. Body's on fire. Show me how to control it. And go ahead, you slip and get higher. Girl, I love how you roll it. I put my hand there. Hold it, I'ma be right by you. I'ma be right by you. On our Facebook page, we asked you to tell us what you are doing to stop the spread. Ogbena Otega Esemuede says that we must continue to make it known to our families and friends that are swimming in ignorance about the COVID-19. We must ask them to stay at home, keep the environment clean, maintain social distance, and lastly, wash their hands. And Eke Maxwell says that what we are suffering here in Africa mostly is hunger virus. I think government should provide relief materials for its citizens before hunger actually kills everybody. Well, that is in some ways a valid point to make, Maxwell. But at the moment, the coronavirus is more of an immediate and pressing danger to everybody. So yes, while governments must provide food assistance to its citizens, we must also talk about the need for us to protect ourselves against the coronavirus. And still on our Facebook page, Kingsley Okudili Chuku says that we Africans can overcome this epidemic, for most of our local herbs are effective against it. Interesting point, Kingsley. Do you know of any local herbs that can help us to overcome this virus? Because it's a global problem. So if you know any local herbs that you think is effective against this virus, I am sure that the World Health Organization will be interested and your government will be interested. So if you have the information, please pass it on. So these are the comments that you have sent us on our Facebook page. Keep them coming. We like to hear from you. What are you doing to make sure that you're not spreading the coronavirus? For every situation, there are bound to be doubting Thomases. For you, here is some advice from Simon Nate.
I want all young guys out there not to play with the virus. This is not, the virus has no respect for status. It has no respect for age. It has no respect for country or race. The virus will only attack you when you go out there.
That's all we have time for on this week's edition of the 77% Show. You can listen to this show and previous editions by visiting dw.com/Africa. For more content on the 77%, check out our YouTube videos on DW Africa 77%. And on behalf of the whole team that made this show possible, please stay at home and stay safe. I am Michael Luti. Bye for now from Accra.